bearing the mark of the Lord. And this is ending our series. Josh, give me a little light, please. This is ending our series in the book of Galatians. And as we think about bearing the marks of the Lord, I think about how in families, it is so interesting to me because I did a study of our family tree on the Gamble side and the hardest side, my mother's family, and even my grandparents. I went into some of theirs. And looking at pictures, seeing the resemblance of family members from generation to generation. I know in our own family, it's just uncanny how our grandchildren carry the characteristics in their looks, their behavior, all kinds of things from their parents, their grandparents, their cousins. They share all these things. And that's what family is about. Families carry certain characteristics that are common to that family. And I've done a lot of study on the temperaments, which is inborn behavior. And we were just talking last night with our daughter Christy and her kids and Neil. And Abby's 16th birthday is coming up Tuesday. So we were just reminiscing, going back to when these babies were born. And our first look at each one of them. And how Drew had a cone head. Well, he didn't like hearing that. And, of course, that straightened out, you know. But how Abby's head was perfectly round, but because she was taken by C-section. And just things like that. But how their temperament are different. And their outward behavior is different. And how they take on certain characteristics of one or both parents. And so Paul is talking here in Galatians 6:17. Galatians 6:17. Let me find that. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul wore a particular badge of identification that he's talking about here. Now, you remember in Galatians, Paul is coming up against the false teachers, the legalists, the Jewish teachers. And these Jewish teachers have been saying for a Gentile Christian to be saved, they must also be circumcised and follow the law of the Jews. And of course, Paul spends his writing on disputing that claim and sharing how it's only through the grace of God that was made possible by Christ on the cross. So he's saying these false teachers don't have these marks in their life. They're not only false teachers, but they're false professors. And he said, I bear the mark of the Lord. Now, he wasn't boasting here. He was simply vindicating his ministry. And so as we compare Paul with the Judaizing teachers, we have to ask, have they got the marks of the Lord Jesus upon them? And of course, the answer is no. And for us, what is the proof of our attachment to Christ? There's certain distinctive marks in every Christian's life that show that we belong to Christ. just as distinctive in the spiritual realm as our physical characteristics that show that a child is a product of a husband and wife coming together and bringing life into the world. So the literal explanation of the apostle's statement, what does it mean, the literal explanation? From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could call these the brand marks of the Lord Jesus upon the body of Paul. And we find that they did several things. They identified him as the slave of Christ. He talks about that in Philemon 1:1. He said, I am a slave of the Lord, a bond slave. They were also marks of shame and reproach in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Paul knew that the world hated the cross. The world hated Christians. The world hated him. And so he bore the shame and reproach of the world. They were also the brand marks of the soldier, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Brand marks of a soldier. A soldier of Christ, one who would take the gospel into the world, take it into enemy territory, and preach that gospel so others could come to know Christ. They were also marks of devotion and faithfulness, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul was fully devoted, and he was so faithful to the cause of Christ. Now, these marks that are in Paul, we bear the same mark. We too are a slave to Christ. We also are a shame and reproach as the world sees us. They believe the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. And we also bear the marks of a good soldier. We have the whole armor of Christ. And as we put on the whole armor of Christ, we can stand against the wiles and strategies of the devil. And then, of course, devotion and fidelity mark who we are. Paul had bodily scars and blemishes, which he had received as a result of the persecution he suffered because of the faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. We see in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 28, you'll just make a note of that passage. We see there that he said things like, I suffered. One way that he suffered in prison more frequently. He was thrown in prison. Paul was a convict. You know, if we had Paul to come to our church today, and we only knew part of the story, and if Paul would say, I want to be a member of Herman Baptist Church, we might say, well, Paul, we need to talk to you about this. Especially if we knew his prison record. I would like to think we would go ahead and do that. That we would say, well, despite the fact you've been in prison, we want you to be a member of our church. But in some churches, he would have a hard time getting in. He really would. I've shared with you in the past the story of Joe. Joe was an inmate in prison down in Anson County, and he got out on work release, and then he got out on a special release that let him come to church with one of the men in our church. And one weekend we were having a barbecue, and Joe asked to speak with me. We went back in the nursery and sat down in the rocking chairs, and Joe said that he wanted to be saved. Joe was serving a life sentence for murder. He had gotten drunk one night in Kannapolis or Concord, and he was in a beer joint, and he got angry at a guy, and he hit him over the head with a bottle or a cue stick or something. Anyhow, he killed him. He didn't even know what he was doing. He was drunk. But he got a life sentence. But sitting in that nursery that day, Joe came to know Christ. And he became a Christian. He joined our church. I baptized him. And the church at Midway, where I was serving, they gladly received him in. He had a record. He had a bad record. But you know, later, after many years of pleas and petitions and praying, they let Joe go. They gave him a parole. And he got to go to Peachland and live in a little mobile home with his daughter he'd been estranged from for years. It was a beautiful story. And he got to enjoy several years with her until he got cancer and went home to be with the Lord. But Joe's in heaven today. But Joe was a prisoner. And society looked at him like that. But isn't it good to know that we can come into God's family regardless of our record, regardless of what we've done or not done? But Paul had been in prison because of the faith. What law had he broken? He had broken the law of the world. He preached Jesus and him crucified. He didn't break man's laws. He was just simply preaching the gospel. But in addition to being in prison more frequently, he was also exposed to death again and again. Paul was frequently threatened with death. He had many close brushes with death, but God had mercifully delivered him. In fact, on one occasion, and you can look at Acts 14, 19 through 20, 19 and 20 to see this, on one occasion, he was actually killed, and God mercifully raised him up. So, exposed to death again and again. You know, in the life we live in here, we have times where maybe we become sick, or perhaps we're involved in an accident, or there's any other number of things that can happen to us where we're threatened with death. But God's protection is always there. Another thing he says, five times I received the 40 lashes minus one. These were inflicted with a long leather strap divided into thongs, on each which was attached stones and pieces of metal. Paul's back would soon be lacerated and torn as he was whipped with this instrument of pain and suffering. 40 lashes minus one. Because he was a Roman citizen, he couldn't receive the full 40 lashes. But he got 39 each time. Almost the maximum. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. This method of punishment was inflicted on Paul and Silas at Philippi, Acts 16:22. And he says, once I was even stoned. Now, this doesn't mean he was high on marijuana. He was actually stoned with boulders, large boulders, as heavy as a man could lift, would be hurled at the victim until his body was reduced to pulp. So Paul bore physical marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore scars of these incidents that had happened to him. So the brand marks of the Lord, most of us want to be popular Christians, and we know very, very little of suffering for Christ's sake. Most of us, we just get to come to church and worship, and we get to take part in Operation Christmas Child and giving to the Lottie Moon offering and listening to the choir sing, or singing in the choir ourselves, or any number of other activities we do in church. And none of these things are threatening. None of these things really cost us anything. Most of these things bring us enjoyment. We enjoy being a Christian and being part of the church and being part of the activities and seeing friends and being with family and all that. Most North American Christians have it pretty good. We really don't have a lot of persecution. I know the civilization that we live in, the culture we live in, they are anti-Christian. But you don't see them out here trying to block the way so we can't get in the building. They don't ask police to come out here and herd us out and tell us we got to go home, we can't meet. We have the freedom to meet. We have the freedom to worship. So all that's well and good. It's hard for North American Christians to get their head around this passage or this verse. Bearing the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you studied history, you know that there has been persecution in the church, and there's persecution in the church even today. Now, it's happening in other places to other people, but it's still happening. So today, we know there are people in other countries who are persecuted for their faith. And they're bearing the marks of the Lord Jesus within their body. Because sometimes they are physically attacked, physically imprisoned, physically starved, physically thrown out of their homes, and their homes are destroyed. All kinds of things like that are going on. People suffering much at the hands of others for the sake of Christ. Now, will we ever have to experience that? I hope not. But we may. We may have to experience that. I pray that Herman Baptist Church, if the day ever comes, if somebody says, do you love Jesus or will you renounce him? I pray that every person would say, I love Jesus. Even if they're holding a gun to your head. Over in the Middle East, the radical members of Islam, they're killing Christians simply because they're Christians. So this has always been, it's always happened. But we need to be brave, and we need to be aware. We need to be able to take a stand. The question is, would we suffer shame for the name of Christ like Paul did? Well, there were these physical things in his body, but also there's the spiritual application of what Paul says. I'm going to read it again. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The spiritual application of this verse talks about suffering, the inner suffering, but the good things that come out of it. And really, you can look at certain parts of Galatians, and Paul's already been talking about this. Paul talked about the fruit that was in his life, spiritual fruit. The marks of the Lord Jesus is represented by a cluster of fruit. Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit. For Christ is personified in the fruit of the Spirit. And we're all united with Him by faith, and these marks will characterize our life. When you have a son who has brown eyes, and either the father or the mother has brown eyes, the son has the characteristics of the parent through those brown eyes. When we have spiritual fruit in our lives, we are showing the characteristics of Jesus in us. This is how we know we're Christians. This is how we identify one another. As we see spiritual fruit in another person, we say, oh, they're a brother in Christ, or they're a sister in Christ. That's how our spirit bears witness with that other person. Now, it's not like we're seeing a big cluster of grapes or a bunch of strawberries or something like that. But what we're seeing are things like love, peace, and joy, that kind of thing. And as we see that in a person's life, you can pick up on it pretty quickly. If you just talk to them for a few minutes, you get it. Many of them, you talk to them for 5 minutes, and they're going to say something about Jesus. You know, they're really letting their fruit show that way. So a cluster of fruit. But another spiritual application of this, a spirit of meekness, Galatians 6:1. This is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about just now, but it's such an important characteristic of the real Christian. The opposite of the spirit of meekness is mentioned in Galatians 5:26, where he says, let us not become conceited. Let us not become conceited. The apostle says, don't be proud. When you see a believer who displays humility, that is a sign of meekness. Now, remember what the word meek means. Meek does not mean weak. In the spiritual understanding of the word meek in the New Testament, it really talks about strength. It's being strong. But it's inner strength. It's also strength that is under control. And a good example of that is a horse that has a rider on its back. It has the bridle and the bit. That horse is strong. Very strong. But that horse obeys the rider's command. The rider is in control. When we are meek before the Lord, He gives us strength. And that inner strength is controlled by Him. So meekness is a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. People who keep their cool. People who are under Christ's control. Again, people who don't exhibit pride and conceit, but they're very humble. Matthew 11:28-30, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. When we learn from the Lord, we learn how to be gentle and humble in heart. The third thing, spiritually looking at this, is a willingness to share the burdens of others, Galatians 6:2. This is such a true mark of the Lord Jesus Christ being in us. If we truly follow in His steps, we will share the burdens of others. We will come alongside of others and be interested to learn how we can minister to them. Not being nosy, not trying to pry into their lives, but as the Lord opens doors and people share, because see, I learned a long time ago, a person must tell their story. People have to tell their story. And so if you'll give them a chance to talk, they'll tell you their story. If you'll just be a listener, you don't have to say, now tell me all about yourself, or tell me what's bothering you. You don't have to do that. You just simply sit down with them, and already it's been established that they want to talk. So as you sit down with them, you just simply say, what would you like to share today? What's on your heart? I'm here. And they'll start talking. And when they share their story, you share in the burden. You need to empathize. To have empathy means you're walking in their shoes. Put yourself in their position as much as you can. More than feelings. It's more than feelings. It's having a deep understanding of what they're saying and the hurt they're going through. And you take that burden on yourself. And then you give it to God. You give the burden to God. So you don't get the burden and just keep it. But you give it to God. You intercede on their behalf. You come before their problem, between their problem and God, and intercede on their behalf. And God has the power to lift that burden off of them. And if He chooses to do so right then, He'll do it. If not, He'll probably do it later. A willingness to share the burdens of others. I know a lot of Christians who say, well, I just don't know what to say to people. It's not important what you've got to say. They don't need to hear what you've got to say. They need to hear what God's got to say. Now, what you do there, you pray to the Lord and say, Lord, give me the words I need to say. And He'll give you the words. You'll think, wow, where'd that come from? But then you remember, you asked the Lord to give you the words. It's a powerful thing. You know, words are powerful. And when we share words of love and encouragement and faith and all the rest, God is working through those words. yeah, those words are coming from our mouth, but the words originated with God. When we ask Him for that information, He furnishes it. Another thing that's a spiritual mark in our life is where we have a willingness to help support those who minister. Galatians 6:6. This is coming into partnership with others who minister. Whether it's praying for missionaries or going and helping missionaries or being in there to help in the ministry of the local church or even getting involved in community outreach. There's a lot of good things going on with things like the Council on Aging and hospice and groups like that, where many of those members that are taking part are Christians. I know that's true because I've met them. I've talked to them. And some of you have met them and talked to them. Some of you have had them to serve you. So as we come alongside these kinds of people, we work in partnership with them. Another spiritual mark is a life made up of doing good. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Just doing good. You know, it makes you feel good when you minister to someone. It may be the least little thing, but to that person, it's big. Because there's people in the world who think that they're not worthy of good things. Some of them think that they've done too many bad things. You know, what we need to do is tell them, look, there's nothing too bad for God. God forgives anything and everything. And that's a message we share with them. But a life made up of doing good. Also, a complete separation from the world. If we have the spiritual marks of Jesus in our life, we're going to be separated from the world. We're not going to take part in the things of the world. You say, but preacher, what about this? No, there's no wiggle room here. Not taking part in the things of the world. If the marks of the Lord Jesus are upon us, we will recognize that while we are in the world, we are not of it. And we'll see to it that His prayer for us is fulfilled. Now that's John 17, where He said, although they're in the world, they're not of the world. So protect them. Jesus prayed for us that way. And then a seventh identification mark is glorying in the cross. We talked about this last week, Galatians 6:14. We shall glory in the preaching of the cross, the story of the cross, and above all, in the victory and virtue of the cross. For it is through the cross of Christ that we are saved and sanctified. Folks, the cross is everything. The cross is what makes it possible for us to be saved. The cross is what makes it possible for those people you minister to be delivered. The cross stands victorious against terrorism, against any sin. The events that are unfolding in the world this very day, the events that have happened in France, the latest news that we know, the cross is the answer to all of that. You know, people are saying pray for France. Yeah, we should have been praying for France before this time. We should be praying for every country in the world that they would come to Christ. But you see, people need Jesus. people say, why are there so many shootings? Why are, you know, in schools and malls and theaters and here and there and all over? It's because of sin. It's sin. And sin is going to become more dominant. The world is a wicked place. But the answer to that is the cross. Telling others the message. And seeing one person at a time change. That's how it happened. One person at a time comes to know Jesus. And that person might have been a terrorist. That person might have been an abortion doctor. That person might have been a derelict. But when Jesus comes into that life, they're all redeemed and brought into the family of God. He's done it before. He'll do it again. The church is not defeated. The church is victorious. And so we carry the marks of the Lord Jesus in us. And we want the world to see us and identify us and say, oh, you are a Christian. Now, when they say that, they may not always be saying that in a positive attitude. But if they recognize you are a Christian, then you've done what you're supposed to do. You've allowed the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ to show through. It's not in what you wear. It's not in what you drive. It's not where you live. It's the marks of the Lord Jesus that is in every believer, so that every believer has the potential to minister and to win people to Jesus. Every believer. Regardless of your training, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, whatever, you have that ability because you tell them about the old, old story. How Jesus died for them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 says this, "Let us ask the Lord that he will honor us by placing upon us the marks of the Lord Jesus, so that others may more readily see whose we are and whom we serve until the time comes when we are able to say with the apostle, 'For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.'" Do you love his appearing? I do. I know you do. I'm looking forward to him coming back. I'm looking forward to that day when he's going to deliver us from this world of sin. And until that time, he's got a job for each of us to do. Until that time, we need to bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in our bodies. Whether it might not be the physical characteristics so much as it is the spiritual characteristics. That's what reaches out to other people. Are you being poured out as a drink offering? Are you letting your life be poured out? That's a positive thing. It's not wasteful. And it's an act of worship when you pour your life out as a drink offering to the Lord. Because, see, you won't be used up. Jesus will replenish you. Every time you serve him, every time you minister to someone, every time you reach out and care about others, every time you pray for someone, he replenishes you over and over. And even when you go through the times like we go through in life, when we say goodbye to a loved one who departs through death, or we go through a time of sickness, or we go through a time of physical separation, whatever it might be, He's able to undergird us and lift us up. And that's what we call grace. He supplies grace so that we can be lifted up. We're going to have a time of invitation. Bearing the marks of the Lord. Every believer in this room, you're part of the family. And you bear the marks of the Lord. You bear the marks of the family. We have something in common. We come from different backgrounds. We are different ages in life. We're at different stages in life. But yet, everyone in here has one thing in common, and that is Jesus. So as you have those marks within you, you just glory in the Lord, glory in the cross, and keep telling the story. If you're here today and you've got some things that are hindering you in your service, hindering you from letting your mark show through, your characteristics, whatever that hindrance is, why don't you just bring it to Jesus today and leave it with Him? Might be some stumbling block. The devil loves to try to throw stumbling blocks in our way. But Jesus says, I'm the one who'll get the stumbling blocks removed. Today, you can be free. Father, we thank You for Your wonderful Word. And we praise You, Lord, that as You work in hearts and lives today, as You speak to them, Father, if there's any here who have hindrances or stumbling blocks that prevent them from showing their full characteristics of belonging to You, Father, just give them the courage to submit those things to You. And Lord, we thank You for the victory You've already given us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And every abundant blessing, every gift from above, is ours, and we praise You for that. So, Lord, I pray for hearts today, that hearts will be changed, that hearts will be renewed, that hearts will be calmed. In Jesus' name, amen.